Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and ultimately successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that delightful instant when you can jump up and shout, yes, I'm in. And not only in, but in at the best program for you. Now, there are MBA programs and there are JD programs. If you want to do both, one after the other, it will take you 5 years. Many, many schools allow you to complete a dual degree program in 4 years, saving you 1 year. A few, very few, have three-year joint MBA-JD programs, and we're going to speak with the director of one of those highly ranked, intense programs. Now, I also want to remind you that we do take questions on the blog, or questions on the podcast, rather, and the easiest way to present a question, to leave a question, is simply to go to the show notes for this show, which is at info.accepted.com/74, scroll down to the mic, and then you can talk right into the mic using your phone, your tablet, whatever is your pleasure. You can also send a question to questions@accepted.com, and I'll be happy to address it on the show. Now, back to our guest. I'd like to now to introduce today's guest, Colleen France, Associate Dean of MBA Admissions at Penn Law and the Wharton School. Since graduating college, Colleen has worked at several jobs, either in a recruiting capacity for major law firms or as a program director at the Wharton School. In addition, she is currently pursuing a master's in organizational dynamics, leadership development, organizational coaching at the University of Pennsylvania. It really seems that her past experience has uniquely prepared her for the role that she now has with the joint program, where she has been a director for almost 4 years. Colleen, although I visited you, I don't think we've ever met. I learned about the program when I was at Wharton a year and a half ago, a little over a year ago. Maybe we did meet then. I think I did meet you at the time at the AGAC conference. We've also chatted via chat, and Accepted.com hosted a chat, I think, for the joint program in 2012. And this is the first time I've had the pleasure of chatting with you in terms of being able to hear you on Admissions Straight Talk. So in any case, welcome. I'm so pleased you could make it. Thank you for coming.
Great. Thanks, Linda, for having me. I'm really excited to talk about the JD MBA program here at Penn today.
That's great. Can you give us an overview of the three-year JDM program at Penn and Wharton? I'm sure there are some people listening who just are not that familiar with it.
Sure. So it's a joint degree program. It's completely integrated from the admissions process through the alumni experience. We, in terms of the admissions process, it's one application. It's hosted on Wharton's website. We follow the Wharton admission deadlines, which is by round, so it's not a rolling admissions process the way that the law school admissions is. Our first deadline is actually coming up quite soon. It's October 1, and then we also give candidates the opportunity to apply during round 2, and that deadline is January 7th. Students who apply to the joint degree program here at Penn must take both the LSAT and the GMAT or GRE, and then complete any of the necessary essay questions, recommendation letters, and follow the normal admissions format. The difference in the admissions process is that in addition to the Wharton MBA team-based discussion interview, candidates also are invited to do a JD MBA interview. That's an interview conducted typically by a third-year JD MBA student focused around applicants' goals on law and business. For the three-year JD MBA program here at Penn, students must start at the law school. It's a cohorted experience, and so students start at the law school. They go through the regular 1L curriculum and then move into summer programming. The classes that are taught over the summer are designed for and taught specifically to the JD MBA cohort. So the classes are just for the JD MBAs. The students take three law classes and two business classes, so they knock out some credits over the summer. It is considered a full semester over the summer, and the students take the equivalent of 14 law semester hours. They then start Wharton as a regular, typical MBA student, so they're put into a Wharton cluster, cohort, learning team, as if they were a full-time MBA student. They go through preterm and then start their Wharton coursework in year two. Because they've already taken some classes at Wharton that are part of the curriculum at Wharton over the summer, they, at that point, take two law classes over their second year at Wharton. The requirements for the law degree are a bit more rigorous than for Wharton, as you can imagine, you know, the three-year degree versus the two-year program at Wharton. And so we have our students take corporations in the fall and mergers and acquisitions in the spring. Those classes we give automatic seating to the JD MBA, so they don't need to worry about, you know, not getting a seat in the class. We also hold those classes at times during the day that don't conflict with the Wharton core curriculum. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to find themselves having a finance requirement that is happening at the same time as we have them scheduled for corporations. It's on the same block schedule so that they're able to take classes at both schools during year two. They then spend their second summer working either what we've seen in the past few years are students either going to law firms or into business. On the business side, they're going to investment banking, investment management, real estate, consulting, private equity, and the like. They then come back their third year and essentially finish out the program requirements at each school. So they're just finishing out their credit requirements, and then they're taking a JD MBA capstone course.
And what is that?
Their third year.
What is that capstone?
Sure. So the capstone is a really interesting and exciting piece of the program. Because the program is cohorted and integrated, we really want the students to come out of the program as a strong cohort. And so I think when you think about some of the benefits of a three-year program over a four-year program, one of the most notable ones, to me anyway, is that the students are getting to start and finish with both their law school classmates, their business school classmates, and their JD MBA cohort. So mm-hmm. they're essentially graduating with three different and really, you know, valuable and powerful networks.
Right.
So the cohort, you know, they obviously are going through the summer classes together, their 1L year, and the capstone mm-hmm. essentially gives them an opportunity to come back together as a cohort and take a class together. It's project-centered. It happens over the course of their third year. So they're taking classes. They take the class in the first quarter, and it has a series of speakers. And so this year we have lined up the Senior Vice President for Corporate Business at GE. Mm-hmm. We have somebody at Eaton Park. We have somebody from a private equity firm. And so they'll come down and guest teach some classes. And then the students will begin to think about projects that they would like to work on, anything really that intersects law and business. And then they come back in the fourth quarter, spring semester, and have a chance to present their projects. So we've had students work on anything from the European debt crisis a few years ago to antitrust matters with Google. We had somebody actually launch Common Bond with another Wharton MBA student, which is
We interviewed the founders of Common Bond.
Oh,
I interviewed
terrific.
Them, yeah.
And Jessup Sheen. So that was actually her JD MBA capstone project.
I see.
So it can be anything, you know, from a white paper to a research paper to, you know, actually starting a business, so long as it intersects law and business. And we offer the class, and we leave it pretty open-ended in recognition that the JD MBA doesn't have one path and that it doesn't serve, you know, one industry. And we are purposefully bringing in a cohort of people coming from diverse industries so that they're able to learn from each other and come together as, you know, both similar-minded folks and, you know, with a diversity of interests.
Right, right. Now, I mean, I know that Penn Wharton still offers the four-year MBA JD.
We do.
For whom is the three-year program more appropriate, and for whom is the four-year program more appropriate?
Sure. So as you can imagine, after we launched our three-year program in 2009, that one certainly has gained in popularity, and more students each year are doing that program over the four-year program. But we still do recognize that there are a group of students who the four-year program is more appropriate. And so we still do admit students to the four-year program each year and do have students in each class right now. For the four-year program, students who start in the MBA program and decide to apply to the JD MBA once they're at Penn, their only option at that point is the four-year JD MBA program. Whereas the three-year program, students can apply externally to the program, to both, or they can wait until they're admitted to Penn Law and then apply to the three-year JD MBA program as a first year.
Got it.
For Wharton students, the option is only to apply to the four-year program, and the reason being is because of the sequence of the three-year program, students have to start at the law school. So there's one type of student that would apply into the four-year JD MBA program. More so, though, we see students who are applying as Penn Law second year students, and so they're completing their first year of law school and then waiting until their second year, or students who, you know, really don't know what they want to do out of the program and maybe want to try on some more internships before committing to either law or business. In the three-year program, the students essentially only have one summer to do a summer internship. And in the four-year program, students do have three summer internship experiences. And so, you know, sometimes the students really do want to maybe spend a summer at a law firm and an investment bank and use the full experience. They'll consider the four-year program. And now the next subset of students that I think the four-year program is for are those who really want to take more of a deep dive into a particular area of interest, especially in law. So if you take something like intellectual property or technology, and maybe students would want to take more credits or participate in more extracurriculars around, you know, a specific area of interest, then they would do the four-year program. That said, because of the rigor of the three-year program and the extra semester, that summer semester, it essentially comes out to about the same credit, and the four-year program at that point only becomes one additional semester.
I see. Okay. Thank you. Now, you mentioned that your first deadline is October 1st, and I actually suspect that our show will be published October 2nd, so right after the deadline.
Sure.
It will be... Your next and final deadline is January 5th. Will any applications submitted after October 1 be reviewed prior to January 5th? Is there any kind of rolling admissions within the round? I mean, I know it's not the law school's rolling admissions, but is it strictly the B-school approach to it?
It's strictly the B-school approach to it. So students may certainly send their applications in, but we don't start reviewing until after the second deadline.
Okay, great. Can you give us an idea as to how applications are actually processed and evaluated?
Sure. So like I said, students submit their application to Wharton. They do still have to obviously register with the LSAC in order to create an LSAC profile, but the application is entirely hosted on Wharton's application site. And so students apply into the program the same way that Wharton applications are read and Penn Law ones. It's a pretty iterative process, and so the applications go through a few reads. We then meet as a committee. Our committee is comprised of myself and admissions directors at both Penn Law and Wharton, and we then evaluate candidates for the first sweep for interview, and then after interview, we go back and relook at the files and then make final admissions decisions based on that.
Okay.
That read.
All right. And what are the criteria?
Sure. So we you know, are looking for, first most, folks who are interested in working at the intersection of law and business. Mm-hmm. And so at Penn, we're not looking for the type of candidate who maybe always had their sights set on law school and then decides that they want to pick up an MBA because they're here for 3 years anyway and they want to get some, you know, quant perspective to go on and be a corporate lawyer. You know, while that, I think, is, you know, fine short term, that's, we're looking for more in our candidates. So we're looking for people who either have worked at the intersection of law and business and maybe see that they really do need both degrees to fill their professional goals. And so take a candidate who has worked in Washington, D.C. on either legislative or public policy matters and, you know, are writing legislation on economic bills without having the quantitative background to be able to really, you know, make decisions. And so they're looking at the JD MBA from a public policy perspective, whereas they see, you know, there are a heck of a lot of lawyers in Washington, D.C., but not that many with MBAs. And so they're looking at it from a perspective to be able to bring quantitative analysis and quantitative rigor into the decision-making process of public policy. Another type of candidate maybe would be somebody who is working in banking and who wants to make a switch into private equity. And so a lot of times what we'll see there are folks who have come from banking experiences take the JD MBA, go to a law firm, plan to stay 3 to 5 years, and then make a switch maybe from doing M&A work at a law firm to private equity or venture capitalism or something like that. And so we're looking at candidates in the process who are thinking about the JD MBA very strategically rather than saying, I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I'm just going to get both degrees and hope it'll help me decide.
Right. So one question, I know a couple of times on the call and also on the website, there was a focus on the fact that this is an integrated program. Obviously, you have the integrated application process. You have the capstone process at the end. But on some level, I'm looking at the schedule or the curriculum for the MBA JD, it was like, well, here you're in the law school, and here you're in Wharton, and here you're in the law school, and here you're in Wharton. And prior to the capstone, are there, let's say, special classes for the MBA JD where they talk about the intersection of business and law, or is there any other attempt?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Sure. So it starts one all year. Penn Law is somewhat unique amongst our peers in that we allow our first-year students to take two electives, their spring semester.
Mm-hmm.
Our JD MBAs have the opportunity to take an upper-level business law class. They take bankruptcy. They are given automatic seating in this class. Again, so they don't need to worry about, being locked out of registration.
Right.
The classes that are held over the summer are taught by JD MBA faculty. All of the faculty that teach either at the business school or the law school have appointments at both schools. And so they're taking classes from faculty who are, specifically understand sort of the goals of the cohort. For instance, one of the faculty members is our director of our entrepreneurship clinic, Praveen Kasori, who has a JD MBA. So he is teaching his class specifically to the cohort around issues of law and business. In their second year, they are taking classes at both schools, and same with the third year. We do also have several classes at Penn that are dual taught to both Wharton and Penn Law students that are really popular, as you can imagine, amongst the JD MBAs. One of them is a deals class. Another one is a class called Business Strategy and Corporate Law. That class is taught by Perry Volkin, who is a Penn Law and Wharton alum, who is a partner at KKR, the PE shop in New York. There's also a lot of extracurricular crossover between the two schools. And so the JD MBA students, they are involved in attending a lot of, educational lectures and events hosted by the Institute of Law and Economics, which is mm-hmm. a joint sort of research institute between the law school, the Wharton School, and the Department of Economics in the college. We also host a series of monthly lunches. They're JD MBA alumni lunches. They are either JD MBA alums with both degrees, or oftentimes they'll be JD holders who have made a crossover from law to business. And so the speakers come, they sort of tell their story, talk about what's happening in their industries, and then the students use these as networking opportunities to speak to people who have, maybe taken the path that they're looking at taking, which is, practicing law for a few years and then making a switch, whether it be into a more operational role or strategic role or entrepreneurial role or even a legal role within a business in the general counsel's office or something along those lines. We also have a few clubs that are that sort of cross over between the law and the business school, and the students have a really active JD MBA student association as well. Further on the integration of the program, one of the really great things about Penn is that all of our graduate schools are located on the same campus, and so I always say, you're not sort of taking a bus to go out to the one school. The business school and the law school are located within about a 3-block radius of each other. Myself, in my role as director of the program, I have a dual appointment between the law school and the business school. So yeah. I literally have offices at both schools. I report into, both schools' admissions offices as well as to both deans on the program. And, really have sort of my eyes and ears on the ground at each school so that when making recommendations for the program or doing counseling to the students, it's being vetted at both schools rather than just, kind of figuring it out blindly.
Right. Oh, that must be a You're the focal point, you're in the middle, really, between both places.
Exactly.
Liaisons, interesting.
So, I mean,
must also have an interesting perspective.
It is. And so, we do it in recognition that it is a 3-year degree program. It is rigorous. And the students, if they have a question, they shouldn't have to spend their time, sort of running between the two schools figuring out an answer. And so they know they can come to me, and I know what's going on at each school to be able to answer it in terms of, what are the policies and regulations of each school. Wharton has probably not much of interest in what the ABA requires, but obviously the law school abides by it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I couldn't find a class profile on the site. Can you give us a verbal profile?
Sure. So our test scores and GPAs, they fall pretty similar to Penn Law. So we come in at about the 169 median LSAT score. We fall higher on the GMAT at Wharton. The students come in with about a median of a 750 GMAT score. I suspect they do very well on the verbal section. I mean, obviously, if you get a 750, they do well both on both sections, but the verbal section comes a lot easier to them, having, taken the LSAT. And they are coming in with an average of about 3.5 to 4 years work experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the work experience, like I said earlier, I mean, it's really diverse. And so our 1L class right now, we have 13 students in the class, and then we will add to that in round one and round two out of the 1L class. But we have students in the program coming from doing anything from consulting, banking, project management, working in nonprofit, government, military. So it definitely draws a diverse crowd of students, which is, something that the program finds really important.
How many students are in the program now? Like in the class, just started. I assume that's the biggest class.
Just started. Sure. We have 13 students in the 1L class. And then we will, like I said, add to that from our current Penn Law 1Ls.
Right.
Our 2L class has 16 students. And between the 3 and the 4-year programs of our 3L class, I guess 3L, 4L class, we'll have 19 graduates this year.
Okay. So it's still a fairly small program. I mean, it's a very demanding program. I wouldn't expect you to have masses of people in it because it sounds really hard.
But, sure. And you also have to keep in mind the size of the Penn Law class. And so our class each year about at Penn Law is between about 240, 250 students.
Wharton is much bigger.
Sure, with about the 800, what do we have, 850 this year about. So we represent a little bit less than 10% of the Penn Law class. And I think that number feels pretty right to us.
Sounds good. Now, I think, before we go to that question, I have a different question for you. Let's say you're reviewing an application, okay, or you're reviewing multiple applications. What will get you excited about an application in a positive way?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I think academic rigor in their previous transcript, anything that sort of signals interdisciplinary curiosity or academic interests. And so we get a lot of people who have either double majored or minored in something or, tried out some different things in undergrad. And then people, again, it doesn't matter what industry you're coming from. So people say, I'm non-traditional. I say, well, try me. because we have, anything from, folks who came from the CIA or the military to people who were teaching seventh grade math in inner city Philadelphia. So I think that it really is a demonstration and an interest in the intersection of law and business is what is interesting to us, and to be able to really identify that and explain it. I think when candidates really kind of fall down on that question, it makes us question, are they going to fit into the cohort and the integrated approach into which we run our JD MBA program here at Penn. And so I think a few things, too. Academics, obviously, it's a rigorous program.
Yeah.
It is probably the most rigorous three-year program in the country with our summer component, and the fact that we don't really double count a lot of classes here, and we do that purposefully. We're not looking to cut any corners in order to make this degree work. We are strategically structuring it so that students are meeting the general graduation requirements at each school, and so we need people to come in who are going to be able to handle the coursework. We also look really closely at extracurriculars and community involvement. So I think personally that a lot of JD MBAs are sort of having, they have their sights on big things, and you don't do that by putting your head down in the classroom and not really, you know, operating outside of that zone. So a lot of our students are coming in with a lot of passion around community involvement, or maybe they have a lot of leadership skills in their undergrad and postgrad careers. So they're not just, you know, joining organizations, but they're going on to lead them and showing demonstrated ability to, you know, have that leadership potential going forward. And then the other piece of it is, you know, I always say it doesn't matter what industry you're coming from, so long as they're able to signal an interest around that intersection of law and business.
Okay. Now, I think the program has graduated two cohorts at this point. Is
so
that correct?
Three at this point, actually.
Three. Okay, great.
Of 2012 through 14.
All right. Okay, so I was behind the times. Where are your grads finding jobs? Now, you mentioned this tremendous diversity. And what kind of feedback are you getting from your alumni?
Sure. So from our three-year cohort, our students are splitting between law and business. So in our last year's graduating class, about half the class went into law. The other half split between consulting, private equity, and investment banking. And so that seems, okay, well, that's not exactly so diverse. I mean, it's either law or business, it sounds a little bit like. But I think what picture it doesn't tell are some of the longer-term prospects and longer-term interest of our students, which fall more along the lines of public policy work. We have a few students with their sights on politics later down the road.
Right.
Students who are interested and focused on entrepreneurship. We have a few students in the program who have come in as entrepreneurs, who have started their own companies, and are maybe at that point going to take a more traditional role right out of Penn, but then go back into entrepreneurship. So, for instance, we have a graduate who worked at two tech startups, has an engineering degree in undergrad, and did the JD MBA, focused a lot on intellectual property. He's an associate at a law firm focusing on IP law, and eventually wants to go back to either starting a tech company or going into tech. On, you know, a similar note, you know, folks coming from as either White House staffers or on the Hill or working in political think tanks and are going to spend some time at law firms and then make a move back into the public sector. So I think that our immediate graduation statistics don't really tell the full story. And, we're excited to see where that takes us.
Okay. Well, that is interesting. So it makes sense that most will go into law or business. I mean, that just makes sense for their first job. But let's say even within that, are most of the law jobs with law firms, or are some of them getting clerkships? And are the business jobs, are they mostly in consulting or mostly in private equity or, you know, banking?
So our students who are going into law are mostly going to large law firms and into their corporate practices. So, you know, a lot of times we'll say M&A, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have one student who did clerk on the Delaware Chancery Court right after graduation. We have somebody who's at a boutique law firm, maybe one or two at a boutique law firm. So sort of a more non-traditional route. And then on the business side, our graduating class last year split really between consulting, investment banking, and private equity.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Okay. Now, do you ever get feedback from students that they wish they had done the four-year program, or that they feel that they missed something with this highly compressed, intense program? Perhaps, you know, the ability to do some of the extracurricular activities, or
No, and you know, I mean, we have been. I think when you're talking about taking 5 years worth of education and you know, quote unquote, cramming it into 3 years, the fear is really outside of the classroom. What are they going to get out of the program? And we have been so pleasantly. Not surprised, but I mean, so pleasantly proud to see that these students are not, I mean, they're not the people that are, you know, quietly keeping their head down and sitting in the library. Our JDMBA students here at Penn, because of the summer semester and because of the, you know, the location of the two schools and the way that the, you know, our both schools approach to interdisciplinary education and both schools, curriculum navigation, essentially, the students are only missing out on one semester. And so if you take, you know, let's say the final four semesters that they're here, it comes out to about one extra class a semester. So, and because we're bringing in such an incredibly, you know, intelligent and community-oriented and, you know, leadership potential, showing leadership potential, we're bringing those people in, and they're continuing to do that while they're here at Penn. So I'll just give you a few examples. Our students who just graduated, our class of 2014, like I said, you know, the 750 GMAT mean, the 169 LSAT, coming in with 4 years work experience, they graduated Penn Law. Four of them Order of the Koi. Let's see, eight of them with honors of cum laude and above. Four of them graduated with named awards, and four students on the law review. At Wharton,
so they're not suffering.
I mean, they are spectacular. They are. They're spectacular.
They're high achievers. They're super achievers, really.
Yeah. One at, now over at Wharton, they also do very well. We had two students graduate in the top 5% of the class. One student awarded the Ford Fellowship, which is the highest first-year GPA. Seven students were given first-year honors, and eight of our JDMBAs graduated with honors. This is in a class of 15 students. I mean, over half of them graduating with honor from each school. The leadership and student engagement, like I said, four on law review. Others were on the Business Law Journal, Journal of Constitutional Law. One of them was the Real Estate Club President, President of Moot Court, IP Group Treasurer, Energy Club Chair, Teaching Assistants, Restructuring Club Chair. We had students who were Wharton Nonprofit Board Fellows. And they're also a fun group. I mean,
you know, they don't sound like a bunch of wallflowers, that's for sure.
Not at all. And so I asked our two L's now who just completed the summer program. I said to them, you know, how was the summer? I asked you guys to send me pictures of you guys doing fun stuff. You never sent me any pictures. Didn't you guys, you know, do any social activities? And within 5 minutes, I sent them an email. Within 5 minutes, they sent I have got about 10 emails back saying, we went to the Poconos, we went to the beach, we went to the Phillies games, we did this, we went hiking. And so, I mean, they're going on leadership tracks, they're taking leadership positions, they are creating clubs that haven't yet existed. Two of our JDMBAs just started a Penn Law Veterans Club. I mean, it's exceptional.
Yeah, it's obviously. Yeah. Apparently, may also be, I mean, the people who would go for this kind of program and this kind of intensity are obviously also those who thrive on it, and then I'm guessing, you know, you're also selecting them for just those qualities.
For those attributes, absolutely.
Yeah, right. Do you have any advice for potential applicants, for those considering the program? What should they be thinking about? They're thinking about it, they have not yet decided.
Sure. So I think, you know, for students who are more focused on the Penn Law degree and then thinking about the MBA separately, I think they need to really understand the importance of work experience coming into the Wharton MBA. And so, and 1 year sort of doesn't cut it. And so I think that what we see sometimes in the application process is a really great candidate who puts in a year of work experience and submits a otherwise great application with a high GMAT, GPA, et cetera, and really could have benefited from, you know, from some more work experience. I think the other thing that candidates should, and I'll go back to this, and I do keep reiterating it, but is to really, regardless of industry, regardless of what job you've worked in, regardless of whether you were on the Hill for 3 years or in a bank in New York or a startup in California, I mean, it makes no difference to us. But what we're really looking for is an understanding of, one, the intersection of law and business, and two, the necessity of obtaining both degrees in order to achieve your career goals. And so the reality is there's no job coming out of grad school that requires a JD MBA. There's no law firm that will not hire you as a corporate lawyer without an MBA, or no business that won't hire you without a JD. So why, you know, the either extra year if you were looking solely at an MBA program or the extra cost or, you know, whatever of the JD MBA? And it's really in terms of your midterm and long-term career goals. And so I think that candidates to the JD MBA program here at Penn, they need to be able to articulate and understand why both degrees are necessary to set them up for success in their future, rather than, you know, again, like, I might as well pick up this extra degree, or I don't know what I want to do, so I should get both so I have something to fall back on.
Right. That is great advice. I think I'm always, and anybody who listens to this show a lot knows that I'm a big one, Liz, and you got to know why you're going for a degree. And obviously, if you're going for two, you got to know why you want two.
I'm not asking anyone to, you know, marry their career plans, or we're not going to hold you to it. But I mean, I think unless you understand, anybody can be a corporate lawyer without an MBA. But so it's really hard to then make that switch. To go on to use your legal experience and the analytical ability that you picked up in law school and being able to think like a lawyer, and then make a move from maybe doing, you know, bankruptcy work to restructuring work, or, you know, real estate transactional work to running a real estate company, and to really want to draw on both skill sets and both sets of expertise in order to you know, achieve your career goals down the line.
Right, for sure. I think there's a big difference. I said this before, I'll say it again. There's a big difference between being a weather vane that is directed, okay, and it can shift directions, and being a broken weather vane that just spins in the wind. It's a big difference.
Sure. And, you know, I mean, that's what one of my students wrote a blog last year, said that grad school is a great time to do stuff that you're either not good at or you've never tried. I mean, it's a pretty low-risk environment. You know, there's a lot of resources for you to try new things out. And so we absolutely encourage that. And we do see people who said, I absolutely know I want to go to a law firm when I finish. And then they spend a summer in law and they say, I now know that was wrong. And that's fine. But to not have a plan coming in and to not have a strategy around, you know, something as rigorous as a three-year JD MBA, I just don't think it works.
Right. No, I agree. Colleen, I really want to thank you for a highly informative and fascinating conversation, a lot of insight into the MBA JD program at Wharton. But I regretfully need to bring this to a close. I think you have a hard stop coming up also. Where can listeners...
Yep.
And potential applicants learn more about the three-year MBA JD offered by Wharton and Penn Law.
Sure. So we're on Twitter at PennJDMBA.com. We have a Tumblr feed, and our website is actually located on Penn Law's website. So if you go to law.penn.edu, you can find us there by let me get this right. law.penn.edu/academics/cross-disciplinary/JDMBA, all one word. My contact information is on that site again. And so you can contact me then, or my email address is cfrance, like the country, at law.upenn.edu. You can also email me at Wharton at the same address. Like I said, I have two appointments. That gives me two email addresses, two offices, two phone numbers. Talk about integration.
Well, yeah, I think you're actually probably very good at juggling with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could you send me the link to the Twitter feed and the
Oh, sure.
That'd be great, and we'll include it in the show notes. And the
notes,
for anybody interested, will be at info.accepted.com/74. and we'll include links to the websites and the tweet feeds and all that stuff. And as well, we'll also include links to the podcast we have had with the Common Bond founder, I think, which is David Klein. And I don't think he didn't graduate the joint program, but I think some of his partners did, correct?
Yes, Jessup Sheen is a JD MBA 2012 graduate.
All right, well, we'll include a link to that. We'll also include links to the podcast we have with June Kinney, who's the director of Wharton's healthcare program, and with Dr. Marcy Bevan, who's director of admissions and external affairs at the Wharton Lauder Institute.
Perfect.
Okay, thanks again, Colleen. Listener,
Thanks, Linda.
Wait, I just want to thank the listeners, too. I want to thank you, too, for joining Colleen France and me for our 74th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, please share the good word by leaving a review on iTunes. Your doing so helps us spread the word about Admission Straight Talk, especially if you leave 5-star feedback. So if you think AST deserves those 5 shiny stars, please let iTunes know. There's a link in the show notes to our iTunes page where you can leave a review. And if you have a question for me, please ask it at info.exceptive.com/74 or by sending an email to questions@exceptive.com. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Exceptive, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week. Colleen, thank you so much.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.